So I spoke with a friend on the phone last week who, because he's black and he has experience and he has a certain skill set, he was called to D.C. about 3 weeks ago to work on a task force to make recommendations to the Secretary of Defense regarding racial equity in the military. And we had an hour and 10-minute conversation, and I listened for about an hour and 5 minutes, and I asked questions for about 5 minutes. Mostly I listened because I was really interested in his perspective on the times and a right response to the times. And I trust his opinion because he's a friend, but also because his unique experience and perspective give him, in my mind, a clearer view of what the issues are and what real solutions might look like. I think he's a good reader of the times. There are many experts out there purporting to be able to read the times, not as in the New York Times, but as in what's happening in our time. And they're offering their advice on what we should think and what we should do. One problem that you're very aware of is that the experts don't agree on much of anything. COVID, racial issues, you name it. The other problem is that since there is so much disagreement by the experts, people are often resorting to a thinking fallacy known as appeal to authority. And that's where we find an expert who agrees with what we think, and then we use that expert to prove that we're right. So you can pretty much believe anything and find an expert to support your position. That doesn't lead to good decision making. And then there's the reality that there are some issues that are really about opinion, and then there are some issues that are about absolutes. And how do you know the difference? So in other words, some issues are more like, do strawberries or blueberries taste better? Well, that's not an absolute issue. And then there are issues about fundamental realities like gravity. Do people, if they fall off this building, do they go down or up? So how do you know if you're passionate about something that's in the berry or the gravity category? It's pretty important to know the difference. For some people in our culture, everything is in the gravity category. They are ready to fight over everything, and all their opinions are absolute. And you better agree even on the flavor of berries. But to live well in the time where God has placed us requires wisdom to be able to read the times from a perspective that's fully biblical. This has always been the case, but it's especially so during times like now where tensions and issues are escalated, times of potentially dangerous division. Now, God alone knows what will come of this time for our nation and our world. The future is way above all of our pay grade, but we're responsible for our response to the time, and we are responsible to live with wisdom in the times. We spent this year providentially going through Proverbs and wisdom. And to be able to live with wisdom in our times requires an ability to read the times, a situational awareness of what's really going on and how should I respond personally. It doesn't mean any of us are going to read the times perfectly. It doesn't mean there won't be some confusion or disagreement, but it means we can grow. Direction, not perfection. We can grow in our wisdom and our ability to read and respond. So growth in the ability to read the times requires a number of qualities like we've seen in Proverbs, like humility and teachability and discernment and courage. It means that we need to consult experts, but when there are vastly different opinions among the experts, we won't go fishing for people who agree with us. And all this can be very confusing. It can cause anxiety, and these are anxious times for many reasons, but not the least of which there's such a wide disagreement among the experts. We would love to have someone just tell us what's true, what's real, and it's frustrating when that doesn't happen. Earlier in the spring, I had two different doctors, both good men, both smart men, both with authority in the state, give me two different views on virtually the same thing. And so we have to stay humble and teachable and realize the limits of all human knowledge. But in the end, we have to go live. We got to do some things. We have to get out and decide. And then we have to figure out how do we live decisively, move out in the world, and then get along with people who are coming to different conclusions. That really is the issue of our times. So we have to understand the difference between what the Bible would call a strawberry issue and what the Bible would call a gravity issue, minor versus major issues. And the terminology in the Bible is disputable matters and then non-disputable or absolute matters. So when it comes to barriers, you can have your opinion, you can have your convictions about what you personally think, but when it comes to gravity, we all better get this one right. But whether it's gravity issues or the flavor of berries, we are to live with one another with grace and truth. We have to get along in a way that honors Christ. So here's the plan for this morning. Three things. I'll give you the roadmap. We're going to look at a tribe of Israel who were known for their ability to read the times. They had practical, actionable wisdom. Then we're going to look at Romans 14. It's a great chapter in the Bible on the difference between strawberry issues and gravity issues and how do you treat people in both of those. And then we're going to give an application for become better and better at reading the times and responding appropriately. So first, this tribe of Issachar, they were known for their situational awareness. So here's the background. Saul, Israel's first king, technically died by suicide. He fell on his own sword so his enemies would not have their way with him. Now that's how he died. That's not why he died. The why he died is because he gave himself over to folly. He rejected the authority of God in his life. Here's what it says in Chronicles. Saul died by suicide. It didn't say that. But Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium, a spiritualist who was trying to talk to the dead for guidance. It did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. And so he rejected the truth of God, and then when in a time of stress and confusion against all scriptural directives, he sought a medium for guidance. He could have just talked to God, but he's trying to talk to a dead dude. So this demonstrates how far into folly he had fallen. He's looking for someone to tell him what he wanted to hear. And so we see here a good measure of a wise person versus a fool. The measure is, who do you trust? Who is your authority? Saul did not trust God or his word, and it ruined him. And so David, Israel's best king, takes over. He was the best king, not the perfect king. Jesus is the only perfect king. And then various tribes of Israel begin to rally to King David. And in chapter 12 of 1 Chronicles, you see these groups of soldiers, men who were equipped and trained for battle, were starting to come underneath David's command. And it's listed. And that's where we come to this unique and interesting verse, 1 Chronicles 12:32. And so among these soldiers who are rallying to King David, it says, men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. So we don't want to read too much into a single verse, but it is really interesting to ponder why God put this in there about this tribe. Whatever it meant, they understood the times. It also meant they understood the times, they could read the times, and they knew what should happen. In context, it was probably military and political. But at any rate, it allowed them to be known as people who were big R, big A. If you weren't here earlier in the year, you may not know what I'm talking about. If you were here, you're like, we got it, Terry. You talked about this enough. But I'm going to talk to those who weren't here. So there's a construct for leadership called read act. And read is the ability to read what's going on. What's the situation? What are the resources? What are the opportunities? What are the threats? That's a big R. Big A is the internal and external resources to take appropriate action. And in this model, you can have a big R, read the times, know what's going on, but a little A, either lack the resources or the courage to take action. So what you have right now across our cities, across our nation, you have some people who are big R and little A, and they sit in their houses and complain. Because big R, little A, read well, but don't take action, so they gripe and complain. Then you have little R and big A. They don't read well, but they take lots of action. And they're all across our nation right now, there are people who are not really reading the times well, and they're taking action, and they're destroying things. But then you have big R, big A. Read the times, respond well. That was Issachar. People often think they know something because they understand some data or facts, but that's surface knowledge. I know what's going on, Terry. I've read a book, and I read Wikipedia. I know exactly what's going on. But wisdom is knowing what's of real significance in the events of our times. What are the forces? What are the ideas? What are the events that are shaping us? And then with this reading in mind, how do I live appropriately in line with this? One of our theme verses for the year, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To start anywhere than with a healthy, life-shaping respect of the Lord and His Word is to take a path away from wisdom. You can't read the times and respond well. So we realize that we're small in power, small in wisdom at our best. God alone has perfect situational awareness. But even so, with humility, knowing our limitations, we're responsible to do the best we can to get a read and to respond, to move out into the world and do good things. So we want to be good readers and good actors, not actors as in Hollywood, but actors as in taking appropriate action. We want to get better at this, and we can. Later in Jewish writings, it was said that the wisest members of the National Jewish Ruling Council came from the tribe of Issachar. So their wisdom became the stuff of legend. This was a large group of people at the time, over 60,000 soldiers, not counting non-soldiers, but they weren't all equally good at reading the times. Surely there were some fools among that large group of people, but as a whole, they had developed this cultural reputation for being wise readers and actors in their times. So here's our first step this morning. Get a vision for this in our lives. Get a vision for this ability to read and act is not just for various experts. This is for you and for me. Now, I'm not saying that we should move towards thinking that we're smarter than our doctor, our mechanic, or a friend who has more expertise and experience than we do in a certain area. I have my own ideas about social injustice issues, but when I spoke to my friend in D.C. on Tuesday, I listened for almost all the conversation because I trust his opinion on those things more than I trust my own. So when I'm talking about growing in the ability to read and respond, I'm not talking about becoming wise in your own eyes. Proverbs says that means you're a fool. This is about humility of heart coupled with confidence in God's Word so that we're growing in our ability to read the times and respond with wisdom. And so that's the vision, that today we get a vision for joining this tribe of Issachar, that we become big R, big A. That's been our goal for this whole year. And so we're not going to go back to Proverbs. We're going to go to Romans 14. And Romans 14 talks about how do you respond to people who think differently about you on disputable matters, the matters like the flavor of berries, not gravity. And so we won't do an in-depth study of this passage. We've done that in the past. I'm just going to give a few verses and then give you the main point. It starts off, Romans 14:1 says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. For some people, it's a surprise to know that there are disputable matters. They thought everything was indisputable, meaning whatever I believe is beyond dispute. But the issues that were causing disagreement and division in the church at Rome didn't have to do with moral absolutes, but ceremonial laws, specifically things like special days and diets. And these days and diets had been in the past important parts of separating God's called people apart from the surrounding nations who were living in terrible, destructive ways. But now, since Christ had come, his life, death, and resurrection rendered these ceremonial things obsolete, unnecessary. They're okay, they're fine, but they're not required. All these special days, diets, sacrifices had pointed to Jesus, and now he had come. But in the church at Rome, there were some young believers who were struggling to come to grips with this whole faith effort tension, this whole grace law tension. And so they had strong convictions about what you should eat and what they should do on certain days. And so Paul's word to the church at Rome, as people were divided, think of it as the mass no mask, march no mask issues of their time. Paul's word was accept those with weaker faith without passing judgment on disputable things. Not that these issues were unimportant, but they're not big enough to press your view on. Don't try to convince people to violate their own conscience. So we have people who have, this is not the same thing, but it's, I'll give you an example. We have people with wide different agreements in our church or ideas about how you should respond to COVID, how you respond to social, racial injustice. And so what we do, what we've done since this all started is we're focusing on what we have agreement on, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then where we can give room, we give room. And so I've said we have church outside. If it's thunderstorms some Sunday, we'll have church inside. If you want to stay home, which some of you are home right now watching this, that's fine. I said, if someone says, hey, you're not taking care of me, I want to sit on the roof, I'll put a ladder up. You sign the waiver, you can sit on the roof. We're going to give room for people to have different views on this because we're going to focus on what we are all in agreement on, and that's the gospel. And so Paul wrote, I'm convinced that no food is unclean. So now you know where he stands on this and to whom he's writing. Paul's saying, look, here's where I stand on this. It doesn't matter the ceremonial foods. The days don't matter. It was all about Jesus. But I'm not going to let my freedom cause someone else to stumble. Love is going to be my kind of guiding light on these disputables. And so verse 22, he says, whatever you believe about these things, come to conclusions, come to your own convictions, but then don't try to go convince everybody else that they need to get in line with you on disputable matters. Now, let me stop right here. Paul is talking in Romans 14 about minor issues, disputable issues, ceremonial days and diets. He's not talking about major issues, absolutes. He started the letter to the church at Rome with this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So the gospel is an absolute. There's no dispute. There's no room for diversity or conviction on this. So there are absolutes and there are disputable matters. Everyone has these categories in their minds. Everyone has a worldview where they've divided the world into absolute, true, bottom line, and then what's less important. The problem is we disagree on what's absolute and what's disputable. There are a few people who say, I don't have any absolutes. I've said it before, but it's pretty easy to prove you can't live with that view. If someone says there are no absolutes, you just simply say, are you absolutely sure? If they say yes, then you have at least one. If they say no, then they've contradicted themselves. Nobody can live consistently with the idea there are no absolutes. Everybody has them. So when you watch the news, when you listen to friends and coworkers, you're hearing them tell you what's major and what's minor in their life. We've spoken about what some of these disputable and indisputable things, not just today, but over the years, so I'm not going to go into that. My point today is simply to say that we need to be ready to take a costly stand on absolutes and be ready to give grace on the minor issues. And we need to have the wisdom to know the difference between the two. This is a complex point, easy to say, hard to live. It requires thought and study and grace and courage and lots of conversation. But again, I simply want to make this point. Be ready to stand no matter what happens on issues of ultimate importance, like the gospel, like Romans 1:16. Don't move. But make sure that it's a biblical absolute, not a disputable that you've made indisputable, because you need to be ready to stand down, when possible, for the good of others on issues of less importance. This is a super important biblical tension to keep in mind. A courageous stand on absolutes, a loving, deferring stand on disputables. So here's how I would say this. Don't be ready to fight for everything, and don't be unwilling to fight for anything. And wisdom tells you which is which. What you're seeing in our culture is a vacuum of wisdom. Folks don't know the difference between those two. And whether it's absolute, I say fight, meaning I don't mean go punch someone in the face, but I mean take a strong stand. Because whether it's absolute or of less importance, there's no room for followers of Christ to act towards others with anything other than love and grace. And so here's our third leg of our journey. How do we become better able to read and respond to the times? How do we grow in this? Because our goal is not to go away and just use this information to critique culture. Our goal is to personally grow, that we become better at reading and responding to culture. So how do we do that? Saul lost his way and his life because he rejected the authority of God in God's Word, and he looked elsewhere for life direction. And at various points in his life, it meant different things. If you read Saul's tragic story, he trusted his own reason, even when it ran contrary to God's clear will. Human reason is trustworthy to a point, but unreliable is true north. Your human reason can't tell you the truth about ultimate things. He trusted his fears and emotions at times. Instincts, emotions, even fears are reliable to a point, and they have their place. But if you follow them absolutely, they'll bring you to ruin. The lowest point was when he rejected the clear word of God and he tried to contact the dead person for direction. This was the bottom of his descent into madness. But all this was about authority. Who was Paul going to trust? And his refusal to trust God ruined him. And to be able to read and respond to the times, we have to settle the matter of authority in our lives. Authority is the right, the claim, the fitness, the power to control and direct. Commanders in the military have the authority to issue orders. Lawful orders must be obeyed, even if the order results in your death. And God is the supreme commander, authority of the cosmos. He made us to know and love and serve him. And his way of exercising authority over us by his mercy and grace is he's given us the wisdom, the truth of the written word. It's not just your opinion versus mine. He's given us his word. It's an amazing gift. And so God's authority means the Bible has the authority as his words to direct our beliefs and behaviors, to form our and shape our ability to read and respond in the world. If you're personally unconvinced of the trustworthiness and authority of the Bible, please go become convinced. I'm personally convinced. I'm convinced by faith. I'm convinced by fact. I'm convinced by study and by experience. I'm convinced because Jesus was convinced. So please become convinced yourself, because all ideas about God, self, life, the events of our times have to be measured, tested, and then when necessary, we have to correct our ideas by biblical teaching. The Bible says about itself, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now listen, by saying look to Scriptures to understand the times, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying look at current events and then try to find out some kind of end-time stuff in the Bible. That's usually a distraction. Jesus said you're not going to know the time of the end. In fact, all days since Jesus came are the last days. Look to Scriptures not to try to find some weird idea about the end. Look to Scriptures to know what kind of things you're seeing in play in the world around you now and how you should respond today. So when I see someone acting out at Walmart or I see something on the news about Portland or whatever, what does the Bible say about human sin? What's in play here? How is this, what I'm seeing around me and in me, related to the fact that people love to form and follow idols? How are the three enemies, sin, Satan, and the world at work in this? What's God been up to in the past in Scripture? What's he up to still? And what does that mean for what I'm seeing right now? How should I face the opposition, the adversity, the opportunity, the boredom, the stress? How do I find in the Bible what shapes my choices and actions now? How should I treat people? Friends, the church, strangers, enemies. What will it cost me today to live with my convictions, and will I pay that price? When I know the will of God in my life, will I obey it without hesitation, or will I shrink back in fear? You see, settling the matter of authority is not the end of the journey, it's the beginning of the journey. You settle the path through the authority of God and his word, then you're on the path to wisdom. And to position yourself to be able to read the times and respond with wisdom better, you settle authority in your heart. And here's how we've said it before. Jesus, the answer is yes. Now what's the question? That's when you settled authority. And it happens one time, then it happens over and over and over. Because we like to knock Jesus off the throne of our hearts and put something else there. If you're moving through life saying in your heart, I might obey, it depends on what it might cost me, then you are not going to live with clarity. It's going to be unlikely that you're going to read the times around you and act with wisdom in those times because you're not positioned to experience God at work in and through you. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I suspect Issachar's leaders had the reputation for being big R, big A, read and act in their times, because they had settled the issue of authority in their lives. I suspect that's the case. I do know it was the case for the Lord Jesus. He was the perfect reader and responder of his times, and he was surrendered to the will of the Father. And if we aspire to be better equipped to read and respond to our times, we have to settle and keep settling the issue of authority. Who's in charge, me or Jesus? Who will I believe and obey, me or Jesus? Will I have the courage of conviction on absolutes, whatever the cost? Will I live with grace and patience on disputable matters, putting the interests of others ahead of my own? And will I have the wisdom to know the difference? Let's see if we can join this tribe of Issachar. Let's pray together. Thank you for your word as a gift. I pray for those who are maybe at various levels of struggling with believing and trusting your word. I pray you would speak to them, help them come to the confidence that your word deserves, and that they would unleash this power of your word in their lives to shape their thinking and their living in ways that are wonderful and powerful. For those of us who do claim to trust your word, Father, I pray that we would stop holding back if we are, and would put our full weight of confidence on you and what you said. And we ask that you would do this for your glory and for the good of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great Sunday.